Now, whatever your age, you will at some point wish to retire. And to do that, you need to do some planning for that day. And to put it quite frankly, the sooner the better. So I'm particularly pleased to be joined today by Howard Bullock from Clear Financial Advisor Billericay, who I'm sure is going to be able to clear up some of the issues involved. So welcome to Phoenix FM, Howard.
Hello, Scott. It's nice to be here.
Well, let's start off with the basics. Tell us what the different types of pension are available.
Well, there's the state pension, obviously, which you get by paying national insurance contributions. You have occupational pensions or workplace pensions. They're pensions that are set up by your employer, and they'll pay into it, and sometimes you, the employee, will pay into it as well. And then you've got personal pensions or SIPs, self-invested personal pensions. And they're individual arrangements that you will set up yourself and pay into.
So the two different personal pension plans, then, are they? Because you mentioned personal pension plans and SIPs.
They're slightly different. Mm-hmm. Personal pension plan is a long-term savings plan designed to fund your income in retirement. They're very tax efficient, but they have some rules with regards to contributions and how you access the money. A self-invested personal pension works in pretty much the same way as a personal pension, but it has wider investment options. So as well as investing in the normal investment funds that access equities and gilts and property and so on, with a self-invested personal pension, you could buy direct equities, so buy individual shares. You could invest in commercial property or other more unusual investments that you don't get via a personal pension plan.
So basically you would be in charge of that much more than you would be in a personal pension plan. But on the other hand, there are greater risks. Would that be fair to say?
Yes, but even on a personal pension plan, you're not managing the money. You just select the investment fund that you go into, the same as in a self-invested personal pension plan. It's just really the main difference is that you have wider choices on a self-invested personal pension.
So how much should you pay into a pension plan?
In short, as much as you reasonably can. Remember that you're not spending that money that you put into a pension. You're merely putting it aside to be used at a later date. But it's better to work out backwards. So if you're trying to think out how much you should pay into a pension, first start at the back. How much income do you want when you retire? Mm-hmm. And at what age do you want to retire at? Once you've established that, one can then work out what size pension pot or what resources you need, be it pensions or other investments, buy-to-let properties or bank accounts. What do you need behind you to produce that level of income in retirement?
But that might not be so easy to assess because your retirement could be some long way in advance. You've no idea what inflation is going to do in the interim. So it's a bit tricky, isn't it?
No, you're quite right. It can be tricky, but by making some basic assumptions, and okay, we don't know what inflation is going to be tomorrow, but we know what it is today. But by taking some assumptions and taking some assumptions on how investments could grow, you can start to put a plan in place.
Right.
It might not be perfect, but you're better off than you were beforehand.
Okay.
So work out what you want, when you want it, and from that, one can work out how much you need to pay to bridge any shortfalls that might be there on your resources.
And are these pension plans safe?
Well, it depends what you mean by safe. The value of your pension can fall as well as rise, depending on how the money is invested. So that notion of being safe is very much up to you. If the pension company you're invested with goes bust, your pension will be in a separate account, so that should be safe. But then underpinning everything, if you, for some unknown reason or some reason, do lose your pension monies, the whole thing is protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme. So if a pension company...
All of it?
All of it, 100% in personal pension
plans. Wow, right. And
if you're in a final salary occupational pension, that's protected by the Pension Protection Fund. So there's a lot there working away trying to keep your pension as safe as it possibly can be.
And the Pension Protection Fund also keeps it to 100%?
The rules around the Pension Protection Fund are much more complicated. And unfortunately, if you do need to claim upon it, it can take a while to get your money there. But it is there.
Right, okay. Now, some people reckon that pensions are no good. Why is that?
Well, I get that. I feel that the perception of that pensions are no good is unfortunate. Pensions get an awful lot of bad press. If you remember the problems with Equitable Life and Robert Maxwell, which was quite a few years ago, that affected a lot of people and it was rather unfortunate. On top of that, pensions can be complicated. The rules are always changing. Legislation's always changing. You have events such as a stock market crash or the credit crunch we had back in 2008. That can affect people. But pensions themselves are good. They're a good product. They're tax efficient and they do the job very well. What the problem is that sometimes they're badly managed.
Oh, right. Okay. So what should anyone who's going to take out a pension invest in? What should they be looking for?
Well, that very much depends on your attitude to risk. If you think that, if you accept that the more risk you're willing to take, the more money you could make over the long term, but on taking on the extra risk, you might be in for a rockier ride. So first off, you need to try and establish what elements of risk you're willing to take, and your investment in the pension should reflect that accordingly. Also, the time until you retire is quite important. So if you're starting off in your 20s, and you start investing into a pension then, you might feel that you can afford to take a bit more risk because you can quite happy wear that volatility or the rise and falls in that pension in the knowledge that over the long term, that will hopefully fare well for you. One tip I might add, as you approach retirement, you might want to think of reducing the risk of your pension portfolio.
I was going to say, it could be great right until the last day and then something goes horribly wrong.
No. A little care and attention can make a huge difference and should see you right.
And do the pension companies give you a regular update on what's happening on your pension?
Most pension providers will send you a statement out at least once a year, maybe more often. Nowadays, with the way technology is driving things forward, a lot of the pension products give you access online to your pension pot, so you can log in every day if you want to. Although you might be logging every day and thinking it's up 2%, down 0.5%, up a bit, down a bit. That might drive you a bit nuts. But at least you've got fairly frequent access.
And should you consolidate all the different pensions into one? And if so, when would you decide to do that?
Well, consolidation is a nice idea if it's in your best interests. Having lots of different pensions can be problematic from an administration point of view, with hordes of paper coming through your letterbox every month or every year.
And for which you're probably being charged.
Well, that's all built into the charges.
But I meant,
anyway.
I meant charges from different different companies.
Yes. It can be problematic from a planning point of view, knowing where you stand in the overall retirement planning situation. But there might be very important and valid reasons why your pension should stay in place. So if it exists, for example, an old pension might have incredibly low charges. So is it the right thing to do to lift it out of that environment and put the money into a pension that could be more expensive? It may be, but it may not be, and care should be taken there. Some older pensions have quite advantageous features. A nice example is the guaranteed annuity rate. And by and large, guaranteed annuity rates are much higher than the open market should you go and buy an annuity income today, for example. And they were set up a long, long time ago, but they're a contractual obligation by the pension company. So they could be quite valuable. So a little care, maybe a bit of advice might be worthwhile.
So financial advice is always a good thing to take along the line. So what would you actually do at retirement?
Well, you have some choices. Firstly, most pensions, well, all personal pensions and occupational pensions will give you an element of tax-free cash, or it's now known as pension commencement lump sum, which is a lovely technical term. But quite typically, you can take out at least 25% of your pension pot as tax-free cash. Some occupational schemes will give you more. And then the rest of that pension pot is normally used to provide tax or taxable income. So the most straightforward and the most traditional way of deriving that is by buying an annuity. So the annuity is a situation where you hand over your capital or the money in your pension, and in return, you get a guaranteed income for the rest of your life. So that's nice and secure, and it's a very, very safe option.
And you get that for the rest of your life, irrespective of what happens to the pot itself. If you live to sort of 95 or 100, the pot is still there.
The pot of money has gone, but you've got a, in return, you've got a guaranteed income. So whether you live 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, who knows how medicine's advancing, that income is guaranteed and set to come to you for the rest of your life. The other option is known as drawdown, and it's an element of unsecured income whereby your pension pot remains invested and you drip an income out on a regular basis or on an irregular basis if you so wish. That's quite nice because it gives you some flexibility. You can increase the income, decrease the income to suit your circumstances. But if the investments don't perform, you could run out of money.
I was going to say, so that one, the pot could dry up before you've finished.
Indeed it could, yes.
All right. So, what happens when I die?
Well, on that unfortunate note, if that were to occur before the age of 75, then the monies in your pension plan could be paid out to your family or your beneficiaries completely tax-free. Mm-hmm. Free of income tax, inheritance tax, completely tax-free. So that's rather nice for them. If you pass away after the age of 75, your beneficiaries might have some choices. They could have the monies paid out to them as a lump sum, but then they're going to pay income tax on the money they receive, as if they received a bonus from work. Mm-hmm. Alternatively, they might have the option to keep that money within a pension, and that might be quite a good idea because they can then use it at a later date and then draw the money out as and when they wish to, in line with the normal pension rules.
And perhaps we could finish by asking you some top tips. You must have some of those up your sleeve.
Well, perhaps the most important one is to start early. Start as early as you can. Mm. So any of your younger listeners listening out there, if they start to set up a very basic pension plan, and whatever they can put away is going to make a huge difference rather than leaving it 5 or 10 years. That's a really good thing to do. Mm. Start as early as you can.
Aren't they the law now with companies? Any company's got to set that pension scheme up? Is it not the law?
Yes, if you're employed, then your employer will have to put one in place. The contributions are starting off at a fairly low level, so you as the employee would just be paying in 1% of your earnings, and that will increase over the next couple of years. But if you're self-employed, that's not going to happen. If you're self-employed, then it's up to you. So start as early as you can. It makes a huge difference in the grand scheme of things.
What happens if you're employed like under an agency deal?
It depends on the nature of your the nature of the work you do, or the nature of the number of employers you're working for.
Right.
But if you're an agency worker, then someone should be putting a pension in place for you.
Okay.
Depending on who it is, depends on your circumstance or the nature of your agreements with the agency.
Right.
But there should be one in place for you somewhere.
Right.
The other thing I would mention, and I alluded to it earlier, is the way in which you invest your pension. And this is really important when you come up to retirement. So within 3 to 5 years of you approaching your perceived retirement date, really have a think about reducing the risk of your investment portfolio.
Right.
So the last thing you want to do is 6 months before that great day when you're going to hang up your hat and enjoy the fruits of your long career, there's another stock market crash or credit crunch too, and you lose a huge percentage of your pension pot. Mm-hmm. So have a think about that. As you're coming up to those years up to retirement, have a think about just reducing the risk, maybe just on a gradual basis. So every year, just reduce it a little bit and a little bit, just to secure the money you've earned and the money you've invested and put away.
Okay, great. Well, thanks very much indeed, Howard. And we look forward to seeing you again in the future with some new tips on something else.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.